Jump around cause you're feeling happy and wave your hand up in the party and want even know some house money ready and put the microphone in and we're feeling sexy and what if I girls you know them love mousy and shot me shot cause you know me.
How are you feeling this podcast?
It's grand. I've only done I was a guest last year on his podcast when he was doing it on his own. Well, he was doing it with someone else.
Yo, so yeah, I can hear myself.
Good, yeah. So I was doing that first and then he enjoyed the episode, but then I stopped with Debo way before that.
Yeah.
So when I started doing it with him, or when I done the guest episode with him then, I went and listened to it back. I was like, that's actually a decent episode. This year then I was like, I need to get back into podcasts, and like, yeah, I was going to get back into it. I know that I can do it, you know what I mean? And 100%. I enjoy talking to different personalities and yeah, like stuff like that. So I was like, I'll try to get back into it, end up getting back into it. I was seeing he was looking for a co-host, so I was like, you know what, throw my face in there on the blade and see what happens, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's only my third one, but I'm enjoying it so far, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a deadly little podcast.
Huh? Is it your fault?
Fourth, yeah. So we done
one, you and me.
Then we
done Al Mangan.
Yeah.
Then Kate Reyes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so this would be four. But yeah, so this is my fourth one myself.
Yeah. And this is me playing, what, 52nd?
Yeah.
I've seen you on TikTok, I have.
Yeah. But we're gonna try to get visuals and all in for TikTok, because TikTok is where you can get views. And even my TikTok now, I don't do many videos. If I was uploading probably every day, I could get more. But mine's on 1,300 followers already and bleeding like nearly 10k likes. You know what I mean?
For
someone that just bleeding talks shy into a video most of the time, not shy because most of it is mental health, for someone that just does that, like, it's doing well. You know what I mean?
100%, bro.
Yeah, I do try and be flat out on the TikTok, but I just don't like TikTok. I just post it and then I just leave it.
Yeah.
But there was the odd times where I did tell you earlier I was fucking having a blame beef with some fucking hater, I don't know. ended up blocking him, so I haven't got any comments off the hater since, so it's just posting and that's it. Posting, just don't look at TikTok
again. Thing now with haters, because we got a few of them like talking about Terrence and all, and slagging him, like saying like he deserved it and stuff like that. And like, at the time I was just like torn it off and all, but now I'm thinking like the next time I get one of them, it's like, meet me in the gym. Meet me in the gym, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, it could be a child or something, but meet me in the gym and talk that sort of shit, you know what I mean?
I've had a few experiences like that as well with the guard, I believe.
Fuck off.
The guard's on TikTok?
No, not on TikTok, in real life.
Oh, real life.
Speaking on Tardance, saying the same shit that you have been saying there, like, he done it himself. Like, I was only a little kid, and my father was alive at the time, and I got arrested for no reason at all. I was down at the Docklands, jumping in as a kid, what we used to always do as a kid, and a few of the young fellas, I can't remember, it was a few years ago now, but a few of the young fellas was throwing like muck balls out of the water at people, and the guy that came down, and I don't think like it was anyone in particular that was throwing them, but like it was probably a few of them, and I came out of water because I wanted to go then. I was in there for a few hours, I'd say, and got out of water, and my mate got arrested, and I was going to the guards. Like, he didn't do that, and what are you arresting him for? You can't arrest him for nothing. He arrested me then, and I was like, all right, grand, I'm with my mate's in the back of the car crying. I'm like, bro, relax, you can't do that, and got back to my house. While in the car, they were asking me my name or whatever, and how old I am, so they couldn't bring me back to the station. I was only 13 at the time. Bring me back to my house. My dad's only fighting cancer. You remember he had the staples in his head?
Yeah.
He'd start pulling the hat off, pointing at his head, saying, oh, what happened to you there? And my dad, you know, the way he is, his little remarks to him where nothing can be said to him. He's just saying stuff.
He knows his answers. He knows exactly what he's going to say.
And told him his name, whatever. We look, he heard. Are you related to Hardens? Yeah, it's my little brother. Oh, yeah, we didn't do that to him. And I was sitting there like shocked that a kid heard and that we didn't do that. Especially at them times, I didn't really know what was happening. Yeah. I got told my uncle got a bang of a car ground up.
It's just to keep the story. It's like you can't be blading traumatising a child by saying, 100%. Your uncle was battered to death, you know what I mean? But I've had it all my life. Not anymore now that I'm a bit older and I don't stay away from trouble and all. But my whole life growing up was the same. It was every time I was pulled, and the guards knew me by Wheelock, even though Bobby Bird's here, there was Donnelly, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, I'd have guards saying, "Mr. Wheelock, come here," and I'd be like, "What? How do you know my name?" And plus, it's not that. I'm Ross Donnelly, like, I'm not Ross Wheelock. My birth here is Ross Donnelly. You shouldn't even know that I'm a Wheelock. We know everything and all, you know what I mean? But the sly remarks of, oh, yeah, he killed himself and stuff like that are always going to come, you
literally,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a few times I was pulled and got back to, where was I going? I was walking from Summer Hill to Mountjoy Square Park, which, just to give them, the people listening, it's only a 5 minute walk, you know what I mean, people that wouldn't know, but it's literally from Summer Hill around to the park, and that's all I was going, and I had a cop car follow me right next to me, cruising, like going at walking speed the whole way right around the corner, just giving remarks the whole time for like 5 minutes straight, you know what I mean? And like, I can't react. If I react on getting put in the car, I'm probably gonna face the same thing, you know what I mean?
Literally.
That did happen. But yeah, let's get into this properly now. Aka, anything to say?
Yeah, what I was about to say is, were them guards abusing you the same guards who had some sort of involvement in Terrence's passing?
I don't think they'd have the same involvement now, but they're from the same station now.
A lot of them would be from Star Street, yeah. But I've had it with guards from Mountjoy, like prison, coming out. You know, the ones that walk. Like, I've had it with Mountjoy, I've had it with Ballymun, I've had it in a few different places, but every guard knows the story.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. It's every single station, every guard, they all know the story and what happened. So they kind of make a blue wall of silence.
Literally, a blue wall of silence.
They all back each other up and make a wall, you know what I mean? Just fucking...
Hide behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'd be the older guys. They wouldn't be the newer guys, because I remember you telling me that the newer guys are sound.
Yeah.
Like, they do want to provide some changes now.
That's the truth. Like, I always say it. You're probably the same as me. I have a hatred towards that specific station and a lot of the guys that did work there. Now, I've had a conversation with a young guard who was like, I heard the story and I'm really sorry that happened.
I have as well, a couple of them as well, yeah.
And when I done the speech at Terrence's March, When I done the speech at Terrence's March 2 years ago, a friend of mine told me there was two young guards there, must have only been in their early 20s or mid 20s, and they were both sobbing with the words I was using in me speech.
I remember that, yeah.
You know what I mean? So there was the young guards had nothing got to do with it. There's no point in me hating all guardie. Like, it's just a bad attitude to have, especially being from the inner city. If you're carrying that on your shoulders and that sort of attitude towards guards, you're just asking for trouble, you know what I mean?
Literally.
They're just going to come for you, and when at the end of the day, they can do what they want.
I know,
you know what I mean? So,
yeah. A lot of them do be abusing their power. Now, I've only had, I'd say, two interactions with guards. One of them, I wouldn't say it's positive or negative.
It's a regular education that's just fucking pulled over or messing about or whatever, is
no,
it?
No, not that. So, my egg got gaffed a few years back, and my ma and dad weren't happy about it.
My egg got gaffed?
Yeah.
My egg got gaffed.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't even realise myself.
I had to think about that for a second. He didn't say that. That's going on TikTok.
Oh, I'm going to get bullied big to him now because of that. imagine we get some soft exposure. People are going to just come to me and say, "Me ain't good gaff." I'm just expecting it now, but me gaff got egged.
Yeah.
I just put it clear. Me gaff got egged.
Stop shouting.
This is for dramatic effect, by the way. Yeah. So my gaff got egged. So my man and dad weren't happy about it. Like, I wasn't happy about it, right? But I was like, I'll just find whoever and just have a chat with him. Like I said, I'm not a violent person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I go in there, have a chat, say it, like, man, just have a chat. What the fuck? Why are you doing this to me? I think it was me mates, but my man and dad weren't too happy about it. So they called the guys, and the guys did nothing, so...
Rats. Sorry. You have to have a laugh, don't you?
So my dad went to Keola guard station. I went with him just for backup, you know what I mean? Just in case something goes down, you know what I mean? Because my dad wasn't happy, so my dad went to the guard. He was just asking him, what the fuck, like, was I supposed to blame help us out? I was like, this, those fucking lazy pricks, the guys are. I wouldn't say it's positive or negative. It was an alright interaction. I just fucking butt in, do you know what I mean? Mm. Talked over me dad at times, because that's one of the worst things about me. I just love talking over people.
It's not a bad thing, trust me. My dad was one of them people and he got a lot over it.
Right. Yeah, it's probably because I'm a passionate person, but I just talk over people, want to make me point. Not because I love to sound my own voice, fuck that. I hate to sound my own voice. Yeah. But anyway, I just bought in when we need something to say. So I wouldn't say it's positive or negative. It was an alright interaction, yeah. Normal. And then I had one interaction which was negative. I was walking down, you know Balmain, right? Balmain House, you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
It's a pub. I was walking Balmain House.
I think so.
It's a pub in Chantala Road. You know Chantala Road?
No.
You know,
he knows anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah, go on. So I was right beside Balmain House. I was on a road, like the road right beside it, seeing me mate, because my mate lives around the corner near Balmain towards,
yeah.
I was just walking down, right? I was near this gaff. I was just outside this gaff, then the guys, they just happened to walk by. They see me wearing a blame tracksuit and all. And then they went after me, they asked me my name, they were questioning me, they were searching me and all that. And they basically told me to get the fuck out of the plane early or else they're going to nick me.
Section A, is it?
This is another thing as well.
I don't even know, section whatever.
About
what section A? Sorry, what section A?
Oh, well, we got a lot in my area just because the clothes I wear, literally. Section A, get out of this area.
The old section A, yeah.
It's a
no reason, by the way.
Public Order Act.
If you don't get out of the area, they can come back and arrest you. But basically, it's in drug areas.
Yeah, mostly in our city, fucking, you know, run down kind of areas. But that's going back to the tracksuit point.
But it's weird because it's a nice area.
Yeah. I want to go.
Why were they acting like I was some blatant drug dealer? Yeah. I wasn't like,
I want to touch on that again. I want to actually touch on what you're saying there about the tracksuits. That's a really bad thing. And I've seen so many other podcasters as well speak on this and bring light to it. So I have a decent job. Yeah. I earn decent money. No, I'm not bragging about it. I won't go into details of what I do or anything, but you have a decent job and I have decent money. Simple as that, right? We just leave it there. So when I was 21 or something, I was like, oh, do you know what? I actually like this Canada Goose. I was like, I'm going to buy it. But bear in mind now, I just made a big decision to go and get this. So I know it's not that big of a deal, but I was like, will I buy it or won't I? Is it going to bring eyes to me, won't it? You know what I mean? It's kind of battling with myself if it was worth the hassle. So I said, you know what? I'm actually going to get this. It was my birthday that month. I was like, I'm going to pay £650 on a jacket. And this taught me off wearing this jacket, lads, yeah? So I was coming down. I was leaving my ma's house in Summerhill. I was going to East Wall, but I was on a scooter. And on the way down to East Wall, a cop puts his arm out the window and was like, pull in. So I was like, what's going on here? I thought he was just going to ask me a couple of questions because of the jacket I was wearing, but wasn't. He proper made it out that I was a big drug dealer. So when he gets out of the car, he says to me, where have you been? Told him I'm only had to leave my ma's house and going down to see my missus. And he was like, were you in East Wall beforehand? I was like, no, literally only had to leave in Summerhill. I got home and work at 9 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock now. I went home, had a quick shower and going down to see my missus. Grand, we've been told that a person matching your description has robbed the phone, so we have to search it. Now, at the time, I didn't know they can't strip search it or look down your trousers on the street. You have to do all that in the station. But they still did. So I'm standing on the oak, and I'm not joking, I don't get nervous around the cops around, but I was proper nervous this time, boys, because I was standing like, what's going to happen to me, you know what I mean? So I'm standing, stood up against the wall, they start searching my pockets. So he checks the right one, the left one, he checks both jacket pockets, all the zips that were in the jacket, he checked everything, nothing. And he goes, I was like, what's this for? Just tell me what it's for. And he kept saying the same thing about robbing the phone. I was like, but you had to check and everything. He says, we have to check your trousers. So I was like, what? He was like, yeah, we have to check your trousers. So I was like, right, go on. But he pulls me trousers out of me waistband a bit down and me boxers with it and checked right down there, you know what I mean? Had a proper look in, like. I was like, yeah, now at the time I didn't know they're not allowed to do that, so I would have had something to say had I known that at the time. It was only when I started telling people after, can they do that? And they were like, no, they have to do that in the station. But he's like, yeah. Then he turned around and goes, have you any blow on you? So I was like, now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Now it all makes sense. I said, you seen this jacket on me? see me in a tracksuit with a Canada Goose jacket and automatically plugged me as a drug dealer. Straight away thought, that's a drug dealer, we're going to catch him. That's the four, I guarantee you that's what they thought straight
and
away.
And from the inner city as well.
Yeah, and being from the inner, this is what I'm getting to, like, about tracksuits and Canada Gooses and stuff like that. What, because I earn a decent wage. Does that mean I'm not allowed to wear good clothes? For the fear that I'm going to be pulled every single time. That jacket was left in my wardrobe for 6 months. So it was like every time I wore it, it was seeming that I'm a drug dealer. Drag him out of it. So good people can't fucking buy good clothes because of the fear that they're going to be pulled over or they're going to be looked at as, that's a drug dealer. I'm nowhere close to what they tried to make it out to be. So he checked my pockets again. I goes, what do you think I am, a magician? Every time you looked in it, I made it disappear. And now it's all of a sudden back in my pocket. I was like, you have to check in this 3 times, mate. You don't need to check again. Oh, just making sure. Got in the car as if it was nothing. But then I'm fucking detrimental to my mental health going, like, can I not fucking do what I need to do, not buy the clothes I want to buy or wear the clothes I want to wear because of the fear that they're going to make it out to be a drug dealer. And plus with the name as well, you know what I mean? Like, he said it himself, we've all experienced that growing up, as where you're made out to be something that you're not, you know what I mean? It's horrible, especially in the inner city, growing up in the inner city like that, you know what I mean? But just wanted to touch on that a bit with the fucking talking about tracksuits and police, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But getting to it anyway, sorry, I'm going to go a little bit back into stuff that's happened here. We've obviously had a little chat already about stuff that's gone on already. We're going to go through, I know Waka has a good few questions for you today as well, and anything you can think of, just roll off the tongue, you know what I mean? But let's get back to everything. So growing up
before we start, I want to say I appreciate you both for bringing me on, take me out of my comfort zone.
Good man.
Thank you for accepting the invitation, by the way.
No, I'm not going to let her. As a kid, I let opportunities fly out of my head. I chose the wrong road when my father died, and now I'm that little bit older, I'm trying to better myself.
Good man.
Do opportunities that I don't think I'd ever do. So I appreciate
even
it.
Sitting here talking on this podcast is a big step for somebody that doesn't do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I've had a chat with you before, even when you were a little bit younger, where you told me a little bit about stuff that you struggled with.
Yeah.
When you were finally, from someone like myself that struggled with mental health my whole life, still do today, the first step of coming out of that and trying to change things is speaking up.
It's always
going to be the first step for anybody that's struggling. Now, I'm not saying it's easy for nobody, because it isn't. It's speaking about your problems, speaking about what you went through. I'm only comfortable in myself speaking about all that now because I see the impact what we can have on other people that are struggling. Like yourself, you said it to me, hearing you speak about your troubles made me a bit more confident speaking about mine. So that's why you'll always say it to anybody that is going through something. Find somebody, whether it be a friend, whether it be a family member, whether it be a stranger, like Aka was to me when I spoke about some of the stuff on his podcast. Well, this podcast, sorry, when I was only a guest on it. It's speaking up, you know what I mean? It's taking that first step. And as you said yourself, now you're coming out of your comfort zone. You're starting to speak. You're starting to tell your story, you know what I mean? It's important that you do.
Through music.
Yeah, and with your music now, that story will come out, and with this podcast now we're going to touch on a lot of that things. But as I said, the first step, coming out of your comfort zone, being here was your first step. You know what I mean? Just coming here and sitting down was the first step of actually saying I'm going to do things that I didn't think I'd ever do, you know what I mean? So good man.
I appreciate you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. So exactly.
But you're helping us in the same way, you know what I mean? I feel happy that you're able to come in here and speak to us, that you're going to talk about some of the stuff we're going to talk about, you know what I mean? We're going to touch on everything. So let's just touch on growing up in the inner city.
100%. Growing up.
How's it like growing up with him?
Growing up with him. He was a good cousin, you know.
Yeah.
We have a big family, right? So it's like, you don't see everyone every single day, but when you do see them, the bond never changed. Like, it felt the exact same. It felt like we were always together. Like, we have how many uncles and aunties?
God knows. So, I mean, Nanny's her family that we're relating on my ma's side, five, six aunties, five uncles. Yeah, that was the family, anyways. There was 11, nearly sure, wasn't there?
Yeah, 11
or 12. 11 or 12. And then on my dad's side, I've only 4, but like my nanny's side, I think my nanny has like something like 60 grandkids or something like that. 60, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be touching near enough, you know what I mean? Like, my ma has 8 alone. Yours has three. And then you had Sinead has three. There's nearly 20 already. Elaine, another three. Robbie, four.
No,
Orla, none. Robbie 4.
Marcus.
Marcus has another 4-5.
4-5,
the twins.
The head is gone.
You know what I mean? So
gone right talking, to you, money.
Yeah.
It's a large family.
There's like 40 or 50 odd grandkids, you know what I mean? And they're great grandkids because a few of them have kids and all now, you know what I mean? So it's a big family. So yeah, we don't see each other a lot. We just don't. And as I, what did I say to you before we come into the studio about mates?
We're grown ups. Yeah, we got so much shit going on in our lives. You have to prioritize other stuff like work, relationships, all that other stuff. We don't have time to see our mates.
Yeah,
even myself included, I have no time at all to see them. Even when I try and organize something, they wouldn't be available. When they try and organize something with me, I'm not available. That's just life, though, and
you can't take it personal either. Because a lot of the times, people will take that personal. Of like, you're not bothering your arse, or why don't I see it? It's like, oh, you have.
I'm kind of in that stage myself as well. My mates, like, I was with them the past few years, probably like every day, and then once a week I wouldn't see them. And now I'm getting to that point where I'm actually starting to do music and pursue it, and all these opportunities are coming at me, and I don't get to see them every day because they're doing their own thing as well.
Yeah.
It's
a part of growing up, like you're 18, I'm 26, like I've seen it all, you know what I mean? But like, as I said, it goes for anything, like friends, family, anything. It's like, I work, I go to gym, I have to eat a healthy diet, so I'm constantly like in the gaff trying to make food or whatever it may be. Then I could be tired most of the time, where I'm just like, it's not that I'm not arsed to go anywhere, it's just like, this is me time. I need to relax now, you know what I mean? I need a couple of hours to myself because I'm genuinely not in the mood for nothing. As I said, gym, training, doing this podcast, and even trying to get played in this podcast, it has to be a set day most of the time, because I know a month in advance with me roster and work, that's when I'm available, do you know what I mean? So even trying to get an hour with the boys is near impossible, because when I'm not working, as like I said, they could be working, and when they're working, I'm working, or when they're not working, I'm working. So it's impossible. And then with the family that we have as well, like trying to see everybody is it's merely impossible.
Thing I don't like is we always end up seeing each other at a funeral.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
It's always the same. It's like you only see your family at funerals when someone's dead, you know what I mean?
Like, why not let's link up, all of us have fun together, talk about our lives.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to, don't get me wrong. 100%. We'd love to have me,
all my family. You text me any time and I'll make it my mission to 100%. Try and be available, you know what I mean?
You know the same, bro.
Yeah. But let's go into a little bit about,
can I touch on something? About the NRC and that community, what I've noticed about the NRC is it's such a tight-knit community, especially when you're talking about your family. Even though you don't see each other most of the time, like, your bond is so, so strong. And I like to see that with my own family, because most of my family don't live in Ireland, but I try and take some time out of my day to call them. Like, I call my nanny every 2 days, just try and chat with her, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's another thing about that, though, is like, you have a phone. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you really want to see someone, or you really want to hear about how someone's day is going, you'll pick up the phone, you know what I mean?
I text you
when you put stuff up about your music, or share his music all the time. Even though that's not seeing you and talking to you, it's still trying to help you and support you by pushing it a little bit more, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and we text each other every day.
Yeah, nearly every day.
Podcast related. We text each other every day.
Even just if I have a story up, he'll say something about it. But even that's a connection, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you still keep that connection. So what I'm saying is, like, if you really are that bothered about not seeing someone, well, then you know my number, you know what I mean?
Just pick
up the phone, I'll answer, and we'll have a chat. I've often had phone calls with people well over an hour and all, you know what I mean? Just catching up on life, might not seeing you for ages, and just want to talk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I love talking, man. What do you think I'm doing a podcast? We get to come in here every 2 weeks and talk for an hour and just chat shit, you know what I mean?
Say how you feel and be able to listen to yourself.
Yeah, and then obviously hearing other people's stories and being able to chat about their story and kind of help them as well, you know what I mean? So we're all helping each other. Like.
Yeah, and another thing I want to touch on as well, some advice for you. I'm not going to say drift apart from your mates more, but you're definitely going to see them less and less and less. So my advice to you is, whenever you have time, give him a text, give him a call. Just keep that bond strong, keep strengthening it, even though you're not going to see much of each other.
Just having to accept that that's what's going to happen regardless, you know what I mean? Because when I was young, I wish I knew that before. I wish someone told me that advice before, because when it started to happen, I was like, did I do something wrong?
Yeah.
And then I was kind of blaming myself to the point of where do I do something on him? Like, he hasn't bothered his arse with me in 2 weeks. Yeah, he might have been just flat out busy doing his own shit, you know what I mean? And I was constantly blaming myself. And then when it was only when I was getting older, I was like, no, this is just life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is it's just a natural part of life growing up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You do be thinking you're a shit mate, I suppose, didn't you? Yeah, or you be thinking they're shit mate sometimes.
One way or another, you're thinking someone's in the wrong here, but it's genuinely only the 2 years that grown a little bit apart because of life, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
And like with your music now, it's going to be major. And watch the leeches as well. Be careful of leeches, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's another thing I want to tell you, because there's going to be a lot of people that'll see how successful you're getting and be like, oh, that's my best mate.
But
you haven't been around
it,
4 years, you know what I mean? What do you mean, best mate? He only texts me now because I'm getting a fucking Soundhouse gig in September, you know what I mean? You want the ticket for the league,
you know? That's going to be hangers on. We were actually talking about it on the phone there while we were on our way to the studio. Like, I'd be very sceptical of those people. Do you know what I mean? Because these people, when you're struggling and you're on the come up and you want their support and their help, they won't bat an eye on you. They don't give a shit about
literally.
You. But when you blow up and you get to where you want to be, these people, they only want to hang around with you for their own benefit.
Their bets are probably on us to lose already. Yeah. And when I'm winning, 100%. They want to tag along.
And especially this mentality in Dublin and Ireland in general, this mentality that you'll never amount to nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're destined to have a 9-to-5 job, go to college, get a trade. And don't get me wrong, it's fucking great to have a 9-to-5 job or a trade. Just being a productive member of society. Like, I highly recommend that to anyone, do you know what I mean? But if you want to be more than that, people are just going to say, relax there, son. Like, you're not going to get there, do you know what I mean? Like, I've had that my whole life. We've had that our entire lives. You know, we want to do something more, yet people are just trying to bring us down. Like, I remember when I was a teenager, I was doing MMA and my dream was to be a UFC champion.
Yeah.
A three-weight UFC champion. I remember I said it in school, like, I was, to be honest, 15, 16, I wasn't even cocky. I was arrogant. I was proper arrogant. I was telling
you have to be as well to be successful.
No, but it was bad. It was bad. Like, I was way too
delusional.
Arrogant. Yeah, delusional.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to be this, but you're not putting in the work or something like that.
I was
like
putting in the work.
Delusional,
I was putting in the work, but I just wasn't good enough. Like, looking back now, I just wasn't good enough, but I thought I was good enough, do you know what I mean? I just lied to myself, do you know what I mean? So I wouldn't give up, do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't say you lied to yourself, I'd say you believed in yourself. That's what you wanted to do during the moment.
You lack the motivation to keep pushing, you know what I mean? But
it's a complicated story how I stopped doing MMA, but basically when I was 15, 16, that was my whole goal, to be a UFC champion. Look, everyone around me are saying you're never going to make it. You know what I mean? You're like, forget about it. Just finish school, get a job. And even my fucking family were like that. My dad always used to give me a lift to training because I used to train in Team Rhino up in Finglas. My dad would always tell me, just don't do it. Like, I think it's more of a concern because MMA, it is combat sports. And I'm putting my health on the line, basically. So it's more there with concerns, you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. Look, Dad wasn't saying it in a way that he doesn't want you to do it. It was more so to protect you. But we've had the same thing. Like, I boxing when I was 12. And I still to this day, I back myself in a fight. Like, I'm not being big-headed. I'm not trying to say I'll blame fight anyone. Or let people walk all over me or whatever. But when I was, like, 12, 13, I was in Corinthians. I was like, no, I really want to do this. So I was trying. Everything was going well. End up going different clubs and all. When I was in different clubs, I went to a different club, and the attitude I got in this club was three favourite fighters and nobody else matters. Now, I won't bring the club name up because I don't want to disrespect them, because they're obviously doing good work. But when this is just a personal experience of mine. I was like, when am I going to do an amateur belt, you know what I mean? I want to fight, like, I'm ready to fight, I'm 13, it was only 13, but, like, me back then was like, come on, I'll fight anyone, you know what I mean? I was ready to fight, and I just kept asking, and he just kept saying, it'll happen, son, and this was going on, boys, I'm not joking, for a month, 2 months, constant asking. So came up then that the three fighters that I'm on about, the favourites, were all fighting in the National Stadium within, like, 3 weeks from when I was in there. Like. So I was like, nah, I'm going to live. And, like, people around me thought, oh, you were afraid. You know what I mean? That's the attitude I got off everyone around me, was you were too afraid. You weren't gonna fight and all. You were afraid to fight. You only bitched out because you couldn't hack it and all. That's the attitude I got off everyone. So just to touch on people around you being negative, it was like, no, I was ready. I was going for it and I wasn't getting what I wanted. Therefore, I said, fuck it. And I still regret that. I always say I don't hold regrets. I always try to say don't have any regrets. Try your arm at whatever you want to try your arm. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I just, still to this day, it does bother me a little bit that I didn't keep going or try change gyms or go somewhere else. And like even now, like if someone came to me with an offer to go and do a white collar boxing for charity, I'm all in straight away.
I remember you were talking about doing something like that.
Yeah, we were going to do it with Gavin for Dali. It's a charity oak. We were going to do a little white collar event and we were getting opponents and all. But like, I will always do that. I'll jump in the ring for charity, no problem. Like, but fighting to me, I love fighting. I love anything about fighting, watching fighting, listening to people talk about fighting, seeing it myself, going live fights. It's just the buzz around it, it's great, you know what I mean? But just as I said, that negativity of, and like maybe then that made me believe in what they were saying, you know what I mean? Like when I left at that time, and being as young as I was, only turning 14, and people constantly around me saying, you were afraid, and then I'm thinking in my head, oh, was I? You know what I mean? Maybe I bottled that or something, you know what I mean? And then it has a negative effect on your mental health growing up then, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was the same with football. Like, I only went to play football when I was 16, even though I'd been playing on the streets from, like, that height. I'm watching it from, like, 8 years of age. I was watching football. Football's my biggest thing. And I was like, I only went to play it at 16 because of nerves. You know what I mean? Nerves held me back from going and playing football. And then when I went and played football, some of the best years of my life, playing with the lads I was playing with at that age, you know what I mean?
Can I ask you about the question, yeah? See when you
swap your boat. Podcast now?
We'll take over from here, lads, yeah? but here, when I was... when you were little, sorry, what did you want to be when you grew up?
That's a good question.
Like as little kids?
Yeah.
I've a few, come off the top of my head, but I have three that was pretty much all in. I wanted to be John Cena. Boy, is not more of a Elijah. That was me. I was set for that. And like, even, guys, I only bleed looked at wrestling gyms there the other day to try my armour and see what's like, you know what I mean? Just to get in there. I always say, try new things, test yourself. Go and do something you didn't think you were going to do. But as a young fella, even 13, 14, 15, I always said it. I'm going to be world heavyweight champion in wrestling. That was me whole thing growing up. Now, in terms of what I wanted to do that could have been a reality, I was going to be a firefighter.
And it just never
came about. But that was mine.
Yeah, I wanted to be playing everything, like I said. When I was about playing 7, I wanted to be a playing astronaut.
Yeah. Well, I was like that as well.
Yeah, I remember, do you know this show Luna, Jim? You ever heard of it?
I can't.
It's a show for little kids. I used to watch it when I was little. I loved it. And I wanted to be a playing astronaut because of that. Yeah. Leona Jim. Tops.
What did you want to be?
I wanted to be an astronaut as well. I used to always, like, I was doing good as a kid all the way up until my father died. And then everything hit
everything
the bottom
down,
then. My life changed. And what was meant to be is happening now.
There you go. Now you're going to be a rapper, man.
Yeah, literally. An astronaut to a rapper. Do you ever hear that one?
I went from John Cena to doing what I'm doing now. But anyway, let's touch on that, though. Let's go into a little bit of detail, like, while we have the time, while we're here. How old were you when your dad died?
I was only 13 or 12. I don't even remember. But
do you remember much from that time?
I remember not believing that Aunt was going to happen, like, you know, the way my dad was.
Superman.
Yeah, literally. Thought he was Superman.
Yeah, you know, we're all like that young fellas when we are younger, our dads were our heroes, you know what I mean?
Literally.
Like, my dad still is today. Yeah, like, there's no one saying that now, like, when we're talking about you losing your dad.
No, he's my hero as well, don't worry. Still chat to him and everything. Yeah, don't worry
still
about that.
He's still watching everything
you're
doing.
Still points me in the right direction in life.
He's literally watching everything you're doing, so you can still look up to him, obviously, but, like, still to this day, like, even as a little kid, you look at them as real superheroes, like your dad's a superhero, but still to this day, like, mine is, you know what I mean? 26 years of age, that's my best mate. I could talk to him about anything. We have that sort of bond, you know what I mean? It's important to keep that, but, like,
100%. I always say it to my mates, like, they don't know how much a parent is until they lose them,
exactly. Yeah. And, like, I haven't lost mine yet, so I'm kind of lucky in a sense. But, like, and this is why I obviously want to talk to you about it, is like trying to realize or try to understand what sort of pain, not pain, but, like, what kind of mental stuff you went through when you were only that age. Because losing someone is bad enough. I've lost people in my 20s and like, really went off the rails for a few weeks, you know what I mean? But losing someone like that is, like, it can really end you.
It set me off, Pat, to be honest.
And as well, because you lost your dad at an age where you wouldn't really grasp death, loss, and mental health. You'd be too young to understand that. And then life throws a blame. I don't say a cover, but life just threw that at you at such a young age, and you didn't really understand what it is. Literally. Or had an education on the matter as well.
Before you go back into it, that's as well. Any time I talk about mental health, it's like we need to educate the young people on every single mental disorder that can possibly come across you. Even though, like, as a young person, when you're in school, you're going to be like, "Fuck this! I don't give a fuck about this." But it's important to me, anyways. Especially when I'm talking to young people, like, I know, like, what, 8 years old. Whatever it is, and the difference between me and you, but it's like, education in mental health is so important for someone like yourself, or even someone like myself, who went through depression, anxiety, stress, all these different mental disorders, still to this day do, like panic attacks, and understanding why. Obviously, you have your reason why, because you know something's happened in your life, trauma, or you've experienced something really bad that really put you down the wrong path. But education in mental health is so important. And I want to say now while we're on the podcast is we need to push for it, because as I said with yourself, 13 years of age, losing your dad is going to do major things to your mental health.
And
you don't understand. You don't understand depression. You don't understand anxiety, like when you're about to leave the house and you're getting real nervous for no reason and all. That's anxiety, you know. You know what I mean? But at that time, you don't understand this. You're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Is it only me that's experienced that? But deep down, you know, there's fucking millions of people out there that all experience the same thing. But this is why it's so important to educate in it, you know what I mean? Let's get back into it, what you were saying, You were only bleeding 13, losing him, like.
Yeah, it was only 13 losing me that, and didn't think anything was going to happen to him. Like, I knew he had cancer, he had it in the brain, and he had it twice there. So that's why I didn't think anything was going to happen to him, because he bettered the first time.
After being told, like, he's not going to last, like, he still came out, not a bother on him, you know what I mean? Learning how to bleed and walk properly. Yeah. You know? Remember when he used to go on his walks around the park?
And learned how to get it all back. It was literally a blessing, if you ask me.
Yeah, but 100%.
The first time he had it was in 2010, and then 4 or 7 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
Got 5 years, I think it was, and then got over. And then 2017 is when it started coming back. It came back to the liver or testicular cancer. It was one or the other. And then bet that again. And then doctors told him he was all clear or whatever. And then one time he was just acting weird, like he was holding a cup of tea. And he couldn't hold the cup of tea. He was just shaking it like this and just kept spilling it. Like walking to get another cup of tea, he just kept spilling what was left, and my man noticed it, and she was like telling him he needs to go to the hospital, and my dad wouldn't, he just never liked hospitals. He was always, nah, I'm grand. And then he ended up going to the hospital. They told him he has another tumour, and again it's just another walk in the park. I'm thinking nothing will happen to my dad, but it ended up, I just seen him going downhill. Still didn't believe he was, anything was going to happen. Just hoping, you get me?
Yeah.
And then fucking ended up passing. And I was in school and all before that. And he passed. Ended up going down the wrong road. Everyone was telling me, now you're the man of the house. Now think of this at 13. You're the man of the house now. You have to look after two sisters. Took that in the complete whole different way that it was put out to be. Ended up going down the wrong road. Getting kicked out of school at 13. Literally haven't been in school back since then. And then hanging around the area with the wrong people. I'm not going to say what we were doing, but sure you know what kids can get up to in the area. It's getting into horrible situations. Never got with the guard or nothing, thank God. Mm. But, it just tore me down.
The effect something like that can happen. You. Nobody can tell you how to react or how to go on after something like that, you know what I mean? You'll hear things like, yeah, you have to be the man of the house and all. It's like, I'm only at the lose my dad, I'm 13 years of age, man. What do you mean, be a man, you know what I mean? I didn't know how to be a man, probably still down to this day. I'm 26. So I can only imagine as a 13-year-old boy being like, you're the man of the house now, you know what I mean? Madness.
It turned my brain to where I was bleeding, turning on myself, and I was hurting all of these things. It made me
especially though, like when you go down the wrong road, then you have so much negativity on top of you then from everybody around you. But that's your way of coping.
Yeah, like, and in ways as well, I was kind of blaming myself for his death, yeah, because like I was helping him like while he was doing his treatments or whatever. And I remember the past 2 weeks or something before he died, he was getting morphine, yeah, and the doctors was crying for him at our house. Our old house anyway.
Yeah.
And I was only 13 and I was very smart growing up, as I was saying. Like, I wanted to be an astronaut or whatever. So I knew all about all these drugs that my dad was taking or whatever, and I was helping him like so he didn't have to move and get them or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember there was this thing, I still remember to this day, there was this little box, yeah, and I had a morphine needle in it. And I always pour it into me that because you wouldn't let the doctors do it. He was a frightened boy, so yeah. I was like being strong for him. So like, it's alright. Mm. And I remember this one time, yeah, this was 2 days before he died. I put it in for the last time, and the box pushes the needle through for 24 hours, right? And I put it in, and the thing started beeping. And do you remember the way he was? Like, it wasn't him. Like the 2 days before it wasn't him. Like, he was there, but he wasn't there. Like, he was just ready to go. Do you get me? Yeah. And there's this beeping noise in the box going beep, beep, and it was irritating him. And aunt that irritated him, he just snapped, but he wouldn't mean to snap, like, because it wasn't him. Mm-hmm. And he pulled the whole needle out, and then we started getting very, like, aggressive, nervous, like, what are you doing? Man. Like, I thought it was something, but I was like, what are you doing? You need that? And he was like, rah, 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 get out of here. And then we ended up bleeding, putting it back to him, and he forgot about it. He forgot about that even happened. And I just remember, like, I always blamed myself because I only found out what morphine does to people after. But I don't blame myself now. I realised that was the right thing for me to do at the time.
It's all you could do.
It's
all you could do as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, he was told he's taking that. He couldn't take it off a doctor.
Mm.
You've done the right thing in every sense of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know, obviously, I can't tell you how you felt in terms of blaming yourself, and like, it's going to happen anyways, like, but you've done the right thing, you know what I mean? And it's important that you do remember that and keep that, because there was genuinely, like, I always say this to people, because I take death really bad. Everyone knows that, like, oh, you fucking, I can't take it. As simple as that, can't take it. Granddad died, went off the head for weeks. Your dad died, same thing, just went off the head for weeks. Fucking me other granddad died, same thing. Like, when me granddad Larry died, I was training in the gym. I was at the being with a coach for like 9 months, and it was every single day at specific times I was eating, like, diet, me chicken, rice, me porridge oats, whatever it may be. It was at a specific time every day. I trained at the same time every day. I was only in the gym for an hour every single day. I had a proper structure to my life. Everything was balanced. I was doing everything right. It was genuinely, I'm not lying to you, lads, the best year of my life would have been that year where I got into the best shape I was possibly in, because I was never on bad foods. I was always washing the bad stuff out of my body. I was constantly hydrated with 4 litres of water every day. My mental health was in a great place. I wasn't going out drinking every week. I would drink while I was on the thing, like, it'd be special occasions, like someone's birthday, family party, whatever it may be. I was only drinking at them. I wasn't drinking at home on a Friday night in the house. I wasn't doing that. And then when he died, I haven't been in shape since. Now, I've been in an L shape, but I haven't been that structured to my life since. And the first few weeks since his passing is when that all just went out the window.
Yeah.
Like, my diet went out the window. My gym training went out the window. I went on for 4 or 5 weeks. Now, I've been in the gym back since, and I've been doing well, and my mental health's in a good place. But as I said, taking debt is something I really can't do. I'm not good at. Do you know what I mean? So it's hard thing to take and accept, but a lot of us do go down that path of, this is what I was trying to get to. You always go on a tangent. But it's a good thinking, what could I do more? At the end of the day, when someone's dying, or someone's about to die, or someone just dies suddenly, there's absolutely nothing me, you, or anybody can do for anybody.
Mm.
That's their path, and that's what's going to happen. And no matter what way you look at it or what way you think, I could have done this, or maybe if I done this he might have been a little bit happier or whatever, maybe it's impossible. That's just going to be detrimental to your mental health. And you will never accept the fact that he's gone if you keep saying, oh, he could have done this, oh, he could have done this, or maybe if I did that it'd be a bit better. It wouldn't have, you know what I mean? It's all going to pan out the same way regardless of how we react or how we do things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're not doctors either, so we can't just cure somebody of an illness, you know what I mean? Especially a terminal illness like cancer, you can't.
Yeah.
So it's just accepting, you know what I mean? Accepting that.
You said something about becoming the man of the family, and obviously interpreting it in a different way. Would it be because of where you came from and the people around you? You'd see, of course, you'd see young fellas with fucking designer gear, loads of money. You know, doing... Basically, they got it for being up to no good. Would that be what you'll be seeing in your head? Because you don't get a lot of role models in your life. See this fella, he's a hard worker, he earned this shit. I want to do what he's doing, but now you're seeing the other young fellas with their flashy cars and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, look at them, it's not a hassle, you know what I mean?
As
that
Ross said,
you took it that way, you know what I mean?
Yeah. As Ross said, when he was younger, he wanted to grow up to be a wrestler. So we used to live across the road from me auntie. We were all close, like, and Ross lived down the road from us as well, like. And all of Ross's younger brothers and people around my age, like, we'd all link up together as kids, play with our wrestlers, play with our match tags or whatever.
Literally.
It got to the point where everything was going downhill. I was starting to do bad in school, me dad, whatever. Then I hung around with the wrong crowd and got into stuff that I regret doing to this day. But it made me the way I am, so can't really regret it.
Yeah, I'm touching on it. These people, they provide relief and comfort to you around that time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know it's wrong what happened. So when you need comfort, you need people around you. They were there for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we've only a few minutes here, so let's get straight into the rapping.
The rapping?
We have to talk about what you're doing now. And obviously, your dad has been a big inspiration for you to push forward 100%. And do something with your life. You see that. We've chatted about it a little bit, but how did this all come about?
How it came about is, as you were saying, mental health. I didn't know how to speak my mental health, and I was really, really struggling. Like, I was in and out of mental hospitals. Not mental hospitals, like CAMHS, and I was in a mental hospital
speaking,
as well. Over
counselling and stuff.
Yeah, but never worked for me and never understood it. Like, never wanted to be at them places. I was always saying to myself, if I can't tell myself, how are these going to help me? And got to the point where I trained my brain. That's literally all it is. I trained my brain to just overcome everything. I done one thing and then I was like, oh, if I can come overcome this, I can overcome that. Then I got to the point where I started overcoming all the bad things.
Yeah.
And then all the good opportunities that came at me while I was doing the bad things, they're all slowly coming back. So now I'm trying to get there. But how I started rapping is, I seen these Irish rappers called, they're from Tala. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Calix Pepper.
Don't think so. No.
Nah. Two young fellas, they don't make that much music anymore, but I seen them post a song, and then I seen that mate, his name's Smiles, and he was a big inspiration for me at the start. I liked his music, the way it was different, it stood out from all the rest, and started writing my own music. So I started writing about how we feel, because I'm not going to talk about life I don't live, you get me?
Yeah.
Started writing about my dad's death at the time, and then it led from my dad's death to wherever I was living. So I was writing how I was living and how I was feeling that day. I was writing, I'd write 8 sentences each day. And now I have 4 years worth of writing that I can go back and look on and put it back to my music.
Yeah.
And
For someone like yourself, like, to you is such a negative, not only experience, but a negative life for them few years. I don't want to say you always lived a negative life, but for them few years it was a negative type of vibe around you in terms of, like, your mental health. You're constantly, like, on the ropes of what am I going through, or do I need help? And then you're getting the help and you're going and you're realizing, I've said it on podcasts before, I didn't counseling for me, I don't hate on it, I'll never hate on something that's doing good for people, but personally it's all down to personally you realise that didn't work for you. Your way of speaking, not only to, like, counsellors, because I walked out of a counselling session myself when I was younger after I tried to commit suicide myself, which is both now that, but going back to it is counselling for a lot of people doesn't work. So for someone like yourself, I'm just trying to give you a bit of background here, for someone like yourself to turn such a negative experience and a negative few years in your life and not getting the counselling that you needed, didn't work, could never get it out, to turn that into music and beautifully write lyrics in terms of what you're saying and how you're speaking, it's just props to you.
Music is my counselling.
Exactly, it takes an awful lot for someone to even speak about their problems, but to put that into lyrics and to make a song from it, like I've listened to a lot of music myself, and like even just a sad song, like to listen to the lyrics is the most important part of music. Not for people just randomly listening to music, but for a lot of people who love that music, it's down, it's lyrics, it's not beats, it's not, it's the lyrics. You listen specifically to what they're trying to say, you know what I mean? I've done it a lot of times with like mental health songs, not mental, they're not supposed to be for mental health, but they're about people that have passed in this person's life, and when you listen to the lyrics it really goes deep, and that's exactly what you've done, is you've turned them lyrics into happiness, you've turned turn the lyrics into like having a successful career. You're gonna have a career in rap if you keep pushing and keep making the music that we've both listened to of what you have already. The sky's the limit, you know what I mean? So fair play to you for turning such a negative time in your life and a negative few years. It wasn't just the past near that and a few months after. This has been going on. You're 18 now, that's 5 years ago. It's been going on for
still going on.
It's like, still, you know what I mean? You're still gonna have bad days. It's never, nobody's life is perfect. And I want to say this here because you're still young, not one person in this street that you walk out, we're going to walk out here and walk home, not one person in that street has had a perfect life. Not one of them people that you see has not gone through some sort of mental health or disorder or whatever, or some sort of experience to have so negative. It's every single person you see has experienced something, you know what I mean? So you're not alone, but to be able to turn around and turn this into success, fair play.
No, I appreciate it.
And especially using music as a healthy form of an escape from all your problems, especially verbalising it and writing about it, it does help you feel better about yourself. It's therapy.
Yeah, but this is what I use for a lot of people, is like I have notes on my phone, right? Now I'm not talking about lyrics, but I have notes on my phone basically telling myself what I can be. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's little affirmations, if we want to call it that, or use the word. I don't believe in stuff like that, but it's telling myself, like, don't stop fucking making excuses. Stop blaming everybody else for what you're not doing something. It's like, that's the attitude I had when I was going through my mental health problems. It's like, everybody else is the problem. Everybody, it's all yous at fault. Oh, you haven't made me bed because it's fucking in work last night and I'm tired. Just fucking do it. Do you know what I mean? So you always write down notes every day without fail, no matter what it is. There'll be a thought in my head or something will come up and it'll go straight in the phone. Whether that's an idea for a podcast, whether it's telling myself to stop doing something, or just something so small, but putting that into writing really helps. And like, you can use that in terms of lyrics. You probably do some of these things yourself, but it's just them having it down and like, getting it out. It's like,
feels better, doesn't it?
Yeah, and even though it's not getting it out to somebody, you know that, like, it, for me anyways, it's when I write something down to do with my mental health, it's like, right, it's not on my mind for now, but if I ever want to come back to that, I know where it is, you know what I mean? So it's knowing that it's off your shoulders and somewhere else, and you can always return to it if you want. So I would recommend, like, even people I've talked to about the mental health, friends and stuff who have helped come out of that sort of attitude and mindset, it's like, write down notes every day without fail, no matter what's going through your head. Whether that's me sending it to him, listen, I'm feeling this way, or some sort of way just speaking about it, or it's going on my notes and saying, Ross, make your fucking bed in the morning, or just telling myself to stop being lazy and stop having an attitude towards things. It's like, I take things personal as well, so I have a little note in my phone as where, stop taking things personal, and it's in big black bold writing, and it's basically telling myself every day, stop taking it personal. If someone says something to me about, say, something to do with the gym, I kind of react in a bad way towards it. It's like, what are you fucking saying? You don't even go to gym. You have no idea. That's sort of my attitude. What would it be? Now, I haven't done that. I'm not saying I do that or not, but that's just an example of what I can be like. It's like, that podcast was stupid, say, for instance. I'm like, fuck you, fuck you. Instead of taking the criticism on board and the person that's telling me, saying, Ross, I didn't like the way oh, I didn't like the way this sounded, or I didn't like what you said here, or I didn't like what you said there, I didn't like what Eka said there. Instead of me taking that on board and saying, yo, no, nice one for the criticism, because I should be taking constructive criticism, I take it personally, like, you've no idea what you're talking about. That's like they do, but they're looking out for you sometimes and trying to tell you. It's like my missus all the time is constantly looking out for me, but I take it personal to the point of, you don't know what you're talking about, or shut up, but you have no idea. But now I have it in my notes, is like, because it's a mental thing with me, it's like it's in my notes, stop taking things personal. So when someone says something negative about me, I turn it into a positive, and I'll change, whether it's my attitude, or I'll change what I'm saying about that certain topic, and I will change. So it's just little things like that. It's getting it off your own brain and into writing, so that you're not carrying that weight around with you constantly. You know what I mean? But yeah, we were told we only had 5 minutes about 10 minutes ago. So
one more thing before you wrap this up. Talk to us about your live show.
Oh yeah, I'm doing a show in September, the 8th of September, Soundhouse, with a few other Irish rappers like Panch, Orby, CH24, Invalid, Bollard, Larkin. There's a few more, but there's a few off the top of my head. It's going to be a good night. 15 quid, you can't go wrong.
What time does that start now?
It'll start 6 till half 10 or
something. 6 till half 10. And well, you heard it here, folks.
After party after.
Where's the other party? It's
downstairs. Literally, you have to go far.
Soundhouse, 8th of September. You want to listen, you can get your tickets
on soundhouse.ie.
Soundhouse.ie for your tickets.
And we'll provide the link as well.
And we'll provide the link on our Instagram, and I'll throw the story up
in the
today.
Description as well.
We're going to get a picture now of the three of us, throw on the Instagram, and we'll fuck a little bit of a paragraph on your whole show and shit.
And another thing before we go, because I have to plug, Top Notch, I brought her on the podcast. She has a couple of t-shirts that she's selling, like her own brand. So get you some t-shirts. Just DM her about the t-shirts. I think that's 25 quid each. Yeah, quick plug. I think it's 25 quid each. Just give her a DM. Buy your t-shirts, it'd be much appreciated.
Top Notch. Yeah, yeah.
Yup, yup. There we go. Thank you very much, folks. We're wrapping this up.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Peace out.
Tell the world and send me, I'd be here 'cause me want freedom, want freedom. Tell the world and send me.